Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Please listen with me for God's word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of the Lord. Well, there's some things about today's world that raise some big questions for me, maybe for you too. Questions that seem unanswerable. Questions that are maybe even hard to ask. Some of these questions challenge us to take hard looks at ourselves, maybe to open our eyes to things we don't really want to see. So it's one of those questions that I bring to you today, a hard question, possibly an unanswerable question, a question that challenges us to look in the mirror. And here is the question. Why are there so many shows about house remodeling and house buying on TV right now? No, I mean, really, I'm serious. What's up with that? I counted over 32 shows, just to name a few. Flip or Flop, Fixer Upper, House Hunters, Rehab Addict, Tiny House Hunters, Tiny House Nation, Beachfront Bargain Hunt, Lakefront Bargain Hunt, House Crashers, Kitchen Crashers, Bath Crashers, We Bought the Farm, My House, Your Money, Curb Appeal, This New House, You Live in What? And one that I am sure is absolutely fascinating, the Vanilla Ice Project. Now, people of my generation remember the rapper Vanilla Ice and his song, Ice, Ice Baby. Dun, 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 dun. Does anybody remember that? Yes. The promo for the show reads as follows, and I am not making this up. Vanilla Ice has gone from rapping music to rapping nails. When he's done and he admires all the changes, might he shout out, nice, nice, baby. That's real. I found it. It's real. I didn't write it. What is it that makes these shows so alluring, so captivating to our country right now, and so telling? We hang on through contrived drama and ridiculous math about the cost of things that we know cannot be true, just to get to the big reveal where we get to see the finished product and the reaction of the homeowners. And everything seems okay, just for a few minutes, until we go back to our own bathroom and think about how much better our bathroom would be, how much better it would look with a new floor and a cool faucet and more windows. These reality shows are actually pretty short on reality. Strangely able to spin out a reality that we wish were true, that someone can swoop in and fix everything at a cost that we can afford, and everything will be beautiful from here on out. The reality is that there are several lawsuits out there from families who've been on some of these shows, complaints of shoddy workmanship, rat infestations, that one was in Raleigh, incomplete finishes, and other complaints that we can all anticipate when you give someone all of your money and tell them they can redo your house without you having any input, and they will do it in 5 days. On many of these shows, the homeowners don't get to keep the furniture that we see at the big reveal. A lot of it is staged, and the only way they get to keep it is if they buy it, but they've just plunked down all their money, so they probably can't afford to purchase it. So the big reveal isn't all it's cracked up to be. The end product is fleeting and maybe fragile. And the process, well, the process is hasty and contrived. Jesus' farewell discourse speaks into these nooks and crannies of our lives, into how we do things, into how we live in relationship with each other. These rich chapters at the end of the Gospel of John spin out Jesus' words of farewell, and they hold within them a kind of wonderment that we even feel today. Will Jesus' followers still love him, even when he's gone? When he's not there to show them the way, to explain things they don't understand, to take the lead, to give encouragement and clarity in difficult and complicated, maybe even intractable situations? And will Jesus' followers of the future, like us, will we truly know how to love him when we never got to know him like that first wave of followers did? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we reveal to the world that we love God, that we know Jesus. We keep the commandments that he made abundantly clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's not the end product. It's the mode of operation that reveals Christ's continued presence in our midst. Love is Jesus' calling card. And if we don't see it in our midst, then he's not here. What reveals our love, what reveals his love, is how we do things. The big reveal is not where we end up, but it is the love that we make and keep along the way in our lives together. I was honored this week to pray at the Habitat for Humanity Blueprint Breakfast. I believe it was the first of many, maybe in the future, Blueprint Breakfast. We got to hear from Habitat homeowners. We got to hear from Andy Burnett, the director. And we were provided a glimpse into the complexity and the power of housing in this community, in the country, and really all over the world. And Habitat brings those complex realities of housing to bear on its mode of operation. Housing affects everything. Health insurance, health care, family stability, work attendance, school performance, mental health, racialized disadvantage, economic disadvantage. So it's true that impacting housing in a sustainable way actually has an impact on just about every social ill that afflicts our society these days. Now, the beauty of Habitat's model for home building is no doubt related somehow, at least as a distant cousin, to the allure of those 30-plus reality TV shows about home remodeling that have captured our imagination. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these things have captured our imagination when the wealth gap is increasing and opportunities to close that gap are decreasing. Now, the common denominator between the house hunter mania and Habitat is simple. We like dreaming about home. And we want home to be real. Now, the difference between the mania of home improvement shows and Habitat, that's where we really need to fix our gaze. Where one approach to finding a home focuses on the big reveal at the end of the road, at the expense of the realities embedded in the process. The other pours energy into the realities of the process, enabling the process itself to reveal the reality of what home is really all about. Because Habitat's history amplifies the dignity of communities that are constructed in the way we share power with one another, in the ways we invest in one another. While the realities of home ownership and life remain complicated for Habitat home owners, the effort to build sustainable communities is clear. Homeowners take classes to learn how to manage money, fire safety classes, how to maintain their house. But not just that, Habitat is built on understandings of human beings that we build community best when there is a sense of ownership in the procedures and decisions that affect us the most. People work alongside each other to let love build justice by embedding dignity and mutual respect into the process. Love builds. Love reveals its true character along the way. Now, Jesus tells his found family of faith not to be afraid, but to love. It's a very clear directive. And it calls us into the world's most difficult question with an invitation to focus on the process, knowing that the process is where Jesus will tell us that he is here. He promises the Spirit's presence will enable us to do his work. We're not left without help. We're not left without the power of love. This word, paraclete, that the NRSV uses advocate to translate. Well, paraclete is a Greek word, and it means a lot more than advocate. It holds these simultaneous meanings. The one to call on for help, the one to appeal to, the one who exhorts us, the one who consoles us, our comforter, our advocate, our encourager. The resurrection will go beyond a single moment in time with the Spirit's help to fill everything we do, everything we say, everything we are with Jesus' revealing capacity. With love amplifying possibility. Now, Wendell Berry tells a poetic story of a man at a window, looking out from his home onto a world that he struggles not to hate, and maybe that he has forgotten how to love. This man embodies the way we humans lose sight so easily of the elegance of creation, of its symmetry, its joy, and what it tells us about our purpose. The man at the window must look again and again and again for a way to love a world that he can sometimes barely recognize. It is God's creation that calls him back to his brotherhood with the world, to the peace of living as in this world as we were made to live in this world. And toward the end of this poetic story of the man at the window, I believe the window becomes a mirror. A mirror for us to get reacquainted with our purpose to make home in this world by honoring the dignity of everyday moments that make and keep love in our midst. So listen to these words. This poem that seems to become a prayer for the man at the window. Indeed, a prayer for all of us. May he awaken not too late from his wraths, to find his window still clear in its wall and the world there. Within things there is peace, and at the end of things, it is the mind turned away from the world that turns against it. Let men who cannot be brothers to themselves be brothers to mulleins and daisies that have learned to live on the earth. Let them understand the pride of sycamores and thrushes that receive the light gladly and do not think to eliminate themselves. Let them know that the foxes and the owls are joyous in their lives, and their gaiety is praise to the heavens. And when the mind has not outraged itself against its nature, they die and become the place they lived in. Peace to the bones that walk in the sun toward death, for they will come to it soon enough. Let the phoebes return in spring and build their nest of moss in the porch rafters. And in the autumn, let them depart. Let the garden be planted and let the frost come. Peace to the porch and the garden. Peace to the man in the window. Love reveals. It does not conceal. Love liberates with truth. It does not hold us captive with lies, with a facade of relationship. If we want to see Jesus in our midst, then love must define who we are from the inside out. The big reveal is startling and yet so mundane. It rests in a question that we're called to answer today, every single day. How do we treat each other in this place? How do we treat each other? How do we look out from the window of our church home into a world inviting us to connect with it in new ways? How do we respond and receive the invitation for us to see ourselves in new ways? How do we let the way we live our lives together reveal again and again that Christ's powerful and healing love is alive and well in the world? Now, our sanctuary discernment is a window, not just into our relationship with a broader world, but it's also a window into who we really are. And right now, whether we like it or not, this is the window and the mirror that God has brought into our community. And we're asked to see what it reveals. Jesus' love wasn't a status quo kind of love. Jesus' love changes things. It opens people up to each other. It strengthens our connections to the whole wide world. But most of all, it creates space for the kind of well-being that can even stand the test of time. Thanks be to God.